Wow, that was an amazing time of worship, wasn't it? I barely have a voice left, so let's hope I get through this message. But Chris, if you guys can maybe prepare that we sing Our Father again at the end of the service, just as a sending out into the fullness of what God has for us. Just a couple of announcements to make before we get into the Word this morning. As you are aware, we are in a new season in this church with a new constitution, and we have a new constituted eldership that's been appointed over the last couple of weeks. And what we would like to do is just to tell you that we will introduce that new eldership to the church and pray for them on the stage on the 8th of May. So if you don't know who the new eldership is, please be here on the 8th of May. This is just so that we can get all the men here, ladies, for Mother's Day, because it also happens to be on Mother's Day. So on Mother's Day, we will also introduce the new eldership of this church, and it's such a blessing to see what God has done and what He is doing in our community. The second thing is just to say that from the 1st of May, we as a church will be joining with many churches in this city in joining the One Tswane event or initiative. And there's some more information in your leaflet that you got at the door. But won't you go on that site and just read some more about what God is doing in our city as one body of Christ comes together to serve the Lord and to preach the same message throughout the city on the same Sundays for the 5 Sundays of May. We're looking forward to that. And then finally, just greetings from Pastor Louis and Natasha. They are in the UK at the moment with some of our ministry partners and building new connections, building stronger connections. And after that, they'll be going to the US as well. And we pray for them just in terms of the ministry that they have there. And they send our love. He sent me a message this morning to say, just to greet you all and to send their love. Now let's get into the message. I want to share today in terms of our One in Christ series, specifically on the topic of one body. We are one body in Christ. I was playing with some ideas on how to intro this message, and I felt to tell a little story quickly, just around my appreciation of being part of a family, part of a body, and part of this body. On Friday, my dad phoned me at about, 20 past 11. He said, "Hey, listen, my car just broke down in Linwood Road, and I need to go to a meeting. Can you come and just be with the car until the insurance comes to tow this car in?" And so I did that. I went across to the car. I was very close by, so I was probably there in about 5 minutes. And I stopped there, put the hazards on the car, opened up the back of the car so that people could see from a distance that there's a problem and there's a stationary vehicle. And I had the two cars standing next to each other, or behind each other in Linwood Road. And I just want to say, to be standing with a broken down vehicle in one of the lanes in Linwood Road on a Friday afternoon at lunchtime is not ideal. If you were one of the people who were stuck in the traffic jam because of me there standing, I'm so sorry. But something happened while I was standing there. I realized that some people don't look in front of them and don't observe what's happening on the road. So 3 people nearly drove into our car as I was standing there. So eventually I was standing on the median close to the car so that people would see human being, then car, then another car, and then drive around. And during that time that I was standing there, it wasn't too long. At least 3 people from this community stopped. And they didn't necessarily climb out. They turned down their window. They went, "Pastor, are you okay? Is everything fine?" And I went, "Yes, I'm fine. I'm waiting for the tow truck, but don't worry." And they drove on. It's such a blessing to be part of a family, isn't it? It's part of this family. Isn't it a blessing? And I remember some time ago having driven down January Masalela, and I saw someone had had a car accident, and I saw it was one of our members. And I very quickly drove around, stopped, and I checked that they were okay. And I stayed there until he arrived to be with his wife and child. And I suddenly realized on Friday that it's wonderful to be part of a family. It's wonderful to be part of a family that loves and cares for each other and that reaches out to each other. So I want to get into the scripture this morning. And remember we're speaking about one body. And the scripture says this in Romans 12, verse 4 to 12. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. In your gift, if your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. And we are blessed in this body with great teachers, aren't we? And that's wonderful. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Isn't that beautiful? Just God saying, one body, many parts, belonging to each other and serving each other by His grace released in our lives. And then it continues. And He says this. He says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in your confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. That's a great scripture, isn't it? Now, we could probably just close the book and read this and read this and read this and meditate on it all week, and we would not get to the depths of what that scripture has. But what I want to do this morning is I want to just share three main points that flow out of this scripture. And they're very simple points. For those of you who know me and know my preaching, I don't get into deep technical things. I just want to get to the simplicity of the Word of God. And what I want to do this morning is have these three simple points and share with you. The first one is this: one body with one head. You see, it's impossible for us, it's only possible for us to experience true godly community if we have the head, Christ, in the right place. Colossians 1 verse 17 and 18 says the following: He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have supremacy. Pastor Louis said last week in his message on kingdom community and framing community, and if you haven't seen last week's message, I really want to encourage you, get on YouTube and go and listen to what he shared. But he said one of the things that he said was this: kingdom community is not something we do because we need it. It's something we have because it glorifies Jesus. Kingdom community is not firstly about me. It's firstly about Christ in the center. And remember, he had all of the people on the stage here, and he spoke about us not having community for our own sake, but having it with Christ at the center. Now, I want to tell you a little story, and just for the guys on YouTube, you're not going to see the two images we're going to throw on the screen in a moment, but I want to tell you a story about a friend of mine called Olaf. Now, if you don't know Olaf, that is Olaf. Olaf is a character in the movie Frozen. He is a snowman that was created by one of the main characters in the movie. And so Olaf is the snowman, and he brings a lot of comedic character to the movie. He gets to say build a fire to save someone's life. And being a snowman, he starts melting. And he gets to say stuff like, some people are worth melting for. Isn't that nice? I need to remember that one from the next time I'm with my wife. Some people are worth melting for. Now, Olaf has a problem from time to time. His head falls off. And when Olaf's head falls off, like you can see in this picture, his body runs around everywhere, going crazy, runs into things, breaks things, and gets nowhere. Now, here's the thing. In the body of Christ, we can't be like Olaf, who loses his head and runs around without direction. You see, we have the best head that we could ever hope for. We have the God of this universe, who is at the head of this church, at the head of our body, but also at the head of the greater church in this city, in this country, and in our world. Christ, as the head of the body, gives us a couple of very important things. He gives us unity. We can unify around Jesus and what he's done for us. He gives us wisdom at any given time. He gives the body direction and leadership. And then finally, what he does is our head gives us an example of how to live. See, when Christ came, he came to give us an example of how to live as the body of Christ. So that's the first point, is that we are one body with one head. And unless we have the head in the right place, unless in our hearts we give Christ the greatest supremacy, we won't be able to have true community. The next part is we are one body with many parts. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 27 says this. It says, now you are one, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you has a part of it. We are one body, but with many parts. And the nice, wonderful thing is, if you look around, none of the parts look like you. Just for a moment, look around you. Is there any, I hope there's not too many identical twins sitting next to each other. None of the body looks the same. We are all different. We each have a different part to play. And the wonderful thing is that he says, by his grace, he gives each member their purpose. He gifts them and he anoints them to fulfill what they need to fulfill. Now, if you can think of your human body, there's some parts of your body that operates on the background. Anyone have a look in the mirror at your entrails this morning? Anyone look in the mirror to see whether your lungs were still moving? You see, there are parts of the body of Christ that fulfill their role, and they might not be on stage, but that doesn't make them less important. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12, if you go read the whole chapter, says those members that are on the background fulfill an even greater function. And so each one of us has a place and a function to fulfill in the body of Christ. And then he says in 1 Corinthians 12, when one part stops fulfilling its function, the whole body suffers. And so the encouragement for us is each of us to fulfill our part. We, the body of Christ, together as a community, as a church, we have been called to be the hands, the feet, the heart, the mind of Christ. He has called us, his people, to be his representatives. We are the only representatives that he has on earth to represent him well, to show his glory and his face to every sphere of society. And so what I love about these two scriptures, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, is that they speak about every one of us fulfilling our part. So if you're called to be in business, then do it well. Do it with integrity. If you're called to be the public protector, do it well and do it with integrity. If you're called to be in politics, do it well. If you're called to lead a school, do it well and show Christ to that world. And for each of us, wherever God has called us, He, by His grace, empowers us to fulfill our part. But inside the community, we also have a part to play. And if we don't, if I hold back, those around me suffer. If I don't give what God has given me, those around me suffer. And the question this morning is, are you playing your part in this community? Are you playing your part in the greater body of Christ, in this city and in this country? So we spoke about one body with one head and Christ as central. And we've spoken about the fact that this body has many parts and each part has a different function that it fulfills. But what I want to say lastly, in going back to Romans 12 in a moment, is that we have one part, one body with one set of values. One set of values that Christ gives us as in His example on how to live as a community. And these values are shown in that Romans 12 scripture. We're going to go back to them in a moment. But first I'm going to read John 13, verse 35. When Jesus arrived on the scene, this is one of the things that He said. A new commandment I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples. You will be showing my face in this way if you love one another. And what Jesus did is He brought a new set of values to us as believers. He has shown us how to live and how to live out this community, one body with one head, many parts, but one set of values. And let's look at the values that are set apart in Romans 12. And I'm going to take them one by one. The first one is to serve one another. And so in Romans 12, he starts and he says, there's one body with many parts. And then he begins to say, each member has a part as they've been gifted. And he goes through the different giftings. Now, I'm not going to speak too much about the giftings this morning, because next week we'll be focusing more on that as part of our series. And Pastor Joe will be sharing next week with us around the gifts. But we need to serve one another with the gifts we have. Now, like that scripture, if your gift is kindness, then give it with all your heart. I like the scripture that says, sorry, I need water first. So, I like the scripture that says, each one should use whatever gift they have received to serve others. And our focus with the gifts, with the things God's placed in us, is to serve one another and to bring life for one another. The second one of these values in Romans 12 is loving with real affection, having real love. So verse 9 says this, don't just pretend to love others, really love them. And that we would be a community that would love one another in such a way that we would stop and connect with each other and see each other for who we really are. A couple of weeks ago, I was encouraged. I was walking on the grass here on Easter weekend, and I greeted a family as they were having lunch together. And I stopped and I sat down and I started chatting to them. And they said this, the lady said, we need more people in our church that can stop for one another, just to connect. And it's an invitation from the Lord, but these seven values in Romans 12, first of all, serving with the gifts, and then secondly, loving with real love and affection. It's Jesus saying, hey, this is how it's supposed to look. We are already a community. It's just how that community expresses itself. And the invitation from Him is that we would be a people who would love with real affection. The next one that He says is, hate what is wrong and hold to what is good. We've been called to be a people that do good towards one another. And so the invitation for us is to live a good life that shows the goodness of the good Father we have. I'm going to say that again. The invitation from the Lord is to live a good life that shows the goodness of the good Father we have. The next one in Romans 12, he says, take delight in honoring each other. Now I love this scripture. I love living in a place where we can honor one another. And I was standing here this morning, and it was such a privilege. Chris, you guys did an amazing job in leading us this morning and just letting us journey with you deeper into the Lord. Well done. And I was standing next, and Chris, not everyone heard what Chris said. He said, hold the hands of the people next to you, and let's sing together, yours is the kingdom. And I was holding Gerben's hand on the one hand, on the one side, and William on the other side. And I just thought, man, I'm in the presence of greatness when I'm standing between these two men. And if we can begin to honor one another for who we are, for what God has done in our lives, then we will see this community go to another level. Then we will see Christ's body go to another level. And I can say that about many people as I stand up here and I see faces, I remember conversations, that we can honor one another for what God has done in us and what He's doing through us. The next value that Jesus puts before us as one of these seven values of community is this. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. And I've simply called it passion for God. That we would be a people that would stir up passion for God in each other. That we would encourage one another to continue serving the Lord. That we would be a people that would meet together so that we can grow in love towards our God more. And so the invitation from Jesus is, this is one of these other values. Grow in your passion for God. The next one is prayer. As we got together to pray this morning upstairs in the Kopanong Hall, Debbie Holloway led the meeting and she read a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. And he simply says in this quote, he basically says, we cannot have Christian community unless we have a community that's based around prayer. And so it's not individual prayer, and none of these values are individual things. It's corporate, as a family praying together, as a family of Christ's body praying together. And then finally, the last value is sharing life together. And this is part of me on Friday. People stopping to say, hey, are you okay? Do you need help? Being part of a community means we share life together. And the invitation from our Father is that we take greater steps forward to share life together. Now, what I want to do is I want to take these seven values and first of all to say that none of them, as I've said, is individual values. They are all corporate, interrelational values. And so when we take on these values of community, when we want to serve one another, when we love with real affection, when we do good to one another, we honor one another, they are all one another values. And as we journey together, we need to remember that actually Christianity is countercultural. What Jesus has asked us to do is not what our culture is pushing us to do. Our culture pushes us towards individualism. Our culture pushes us towards closed doors, fences up, don't let anyone into your house. Isn't it right? I get into the car, you know, one of the first things I do is I check that the doors are locked. We lock people out. Our culture, our world pushes us to a place of individualism. And secondly, it pushes us towards a place of, I want to do my thing and I'm going to do my thing no matter what. It pushes us away from putting the head in its supremacy. And so what Jesus calls us to do, yeah, you can clap. I think that's a good statement. I borrowed that one from Debbie. She shared it this morning. Here's the thing. What Jesus calls us to do is to be countercultural. The worship team, you guys can come up. Because the normal culture pushes us in a different direction. Now, there's a growing phenomenon that we've seen come up in the last generation in our world. And it's called DSH. Anyone know what DSH is? I'm doing this so that I can sound very, very intelligent. DSH simply stands for deliberate self-harm. It's also called deliberate self-mutilation, self-injury. And it's defined as any intentional injury to one's own body. And so in our world, we have sometimes got girls who would cut themselves, do damage to their body, create scars. We have people who would deliberately abstain from eating food or force themselves to throw up, do damage to their own body for some reason. And there's different reasons for the different situations. Some people burn themselves. Some people would deliberately bump their heads intentionally to hurt themselves. And I'm not going to talk too much about DSH this morning, but I want to say this. Sometimes, as the body of Christ, we suffer from deliberate self-harm. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he says this. He says, if the eye says, I don't want to be part of this body anymore, does it stop being part of the body? No. But then he says, why would the hand not want to feed the mouth? Sometimes, as the body of Christ, man, I want to cry when I think about some of the stories I've heard and some of the stories I've lived. We do so much harm to each other. Why? Because we're not living these seven values. Because we don't honor each other. We don't give each other the love. We don't serve each other with all our hearts. Can we put those seven values up again, please? What I want to do first of all is I want to give us a chance to repent. Now, what does repent mean? It means to turn your back on something and turn into something new, to choose a new lifestyle. And so I want to call us all to just look at those seven, to serve, to love sincerely, to do good, to honor, to encourage each other in a passion for God, prayer, and sharing life together. And maybe there's one of those that you need to say today, Lord, I choose a new way, because what I've done in the past hasn't brought life. I've injured, I've done deliberate injury, or maybe accidental injury to those of your body. And let's repent this morning first. Let's turn before the Lord and let's repent. And I want to ask you to stand if there's something that you need to repent for. If there's something that you need to choose to live in a greater way. Personally, as I prepared this message, I realized that I want to honor the body of Christ more, the people that are around me. I want to honor them. Anyone else? I'm going to give you a moment and then we're going to pray. If you want to choose one of those things and you want to specifically grow stronger in it, Father, you see us standing. And today we want to come before you and we want to repent of the hurt and the damage we've done to each other, to your body. And first of all, we want to choose to put Christ in his rightful place first in our lives. And then, Lord, we choose to serve one another, to love one another, to do good to one another, to honor each other, to encourage each other in our passion for you, Lord, to grow in prayer and to share life together, to stop for each other and to be part of a real family that really loves each other. In Jesus' name, amen. What I want to do is I want to ask these guys if we can sing the Lord's Prayer together. one last time. So can we all stand? We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer in closing, and then I'll come up and close the service at the end. Thank you so much.
Our Father,
this morning, and thank you for you moving among us. We pray, Father, that as we go, that we would go with your Spirit, that we would grow to look more like you, Lord, that you would provide for everything we need. Thank you, Father, that even this morning we heard you will not grow weary of us bringing our need before you. And as we go, Father, we want to show your face. We want to be like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. I think these guys are going to sing some more maybe. But enjoy the day and have a wonderful Sunday, and may the Lord bless you and keep you in Jesus' name.